Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Cemetery Podcast. We will be traveling this week to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Then we'll be heading up to Detroit, Michigan. Then we're going to be heading to Louisville, Kentucky. After that, we're going to head back to Pennsylvania for a York Memorial. And we're going to wrap it all up with a story about tornadoes and cemeteries that just may blow you away. All that and more on this week's edition of the Cemetery Podcast.
Be sure to check out the Cemetery Podcast website at thefuneralsource.org/cemetery-podcast.
All right, welcome to this edition of the Cemetery Podcast. You know, it's been kind of a crazy week this week. Actually, we went just north of us. I've mentioned many of you before. We are based out of Cincinnati, Ohio. And about an hour north of us, give or take, is Dayton, Ohio. And we went up there to meet a friend of ours, Trish, who was in from St. Louis. She's also one of the moderators in one of our Facebook groups, actually our Missouri Cemeteries group. So if you shoot graves in Missouri, shoot cemeteries in Missouri, be sure to join the group, rather. I'd also like to let you guys know, in case you don't know, we do have a Facebook group literally for every state in the union. That and more. We have well over 100 Facebook groups for the Necro Tourist. So if you want to find a place to post, we have a place to post. We also have a variety of places you can post, like different types of stones, obelisks and benches and zinkies and you name it. We got it. And if we don't have it, let us know. We'll make one. Anyway, I did want to give a shout out to some of the people listening around the country and around the globe. First off, I'd like to say hello to our friends who listen in Idaho. I guess we're big in Idaho. If I keep mispronouncing it, we won't be. But we have several people that are listening in from that area, as well as across the pond. I want to say hello to our friends who are listening in Wales. Thank you for joining us. I'm always surprised that, you know, even though we're in Ohio, that's a percentage of our audience, a big slice, but we have a large slice of people that listen overseas, so I want to thank you. Also, don't forget that if you enjoy the show, please share the links, tell a friend. We're getting on more formats every single week, you know. I know we're in Apple, and we just got accepted in one this week. I can't remember who it is. Pandora. I think that Pandora. Yeah, we're in the Pandora podcast now, as well as our, you know, Spotify and some of the others that are our home. Anyway, we are hopefully planning a trip to Indiana this week. I don't know if that's going to happen. Weather is going to be pending because, believe it or not, I am recording this show on the 20th of April, and it is going to snow tonight in Indiana and the Cincinnati area. Not that it'll be tremendous accumulation or anything, but the temperatures are going to plummet. So we're looking at daytime highs tomorrow in the 40s. So I don't really know how much unnecessary cemetery hunting we're going to be doing. I'm not sure. We may be meeting Trish from St. Louis there again on her return trip. Anyway, that being said, we'll let you guys know about that as it develops. I did want to let everybody know that, you know, if you're enjoying things, be sure to let us know via social media, or you can email us if you have questions, suggestions, whatever it is, however you want to communicate with us. We are more than happy to communicate. You know, the Cemetery Podcast is an extension of the Necro Tourist, and we've been doing this for quite a while now. So we're banging down the door at 1,200 cemeteries, folks. So I'm always up for ideas, suggestions, comments, whatever you want to throw at me. So anyway, that being said, I'm going to let Ray give you the details, and we'll be back with some of our features and some of our fun for this week's show. Again, thank you for tuning in to the Cemetery Podcast. I am Ken Nagley for the Necro Tourist, and I have a great time doing this. I hope you have just as good a time listening.
Be sure to visit the Cemetery Podcast Facebook page at facebook.com/cemetery-podcast.
Welcome to the Ordinary Extraordinary Cemetery Podcast.
Join us each week as we explore old cemeteries and the stories of the people buried in them.
It's history, it's spooky, it's good old-fashioned undead fun for the whole family. Find us wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, Necro Travelers. I want to make you aware of a cemetery that really is one of the cemeteries that kind of got me interested in this, actually. The idea of visiting cemeteries and such. While operating our website, The Funeral Source, we were watching a program that was on PBS years ago called The Cemetery Special. And during the show, they discussed a cemetery in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And that cemetery was none other than the Allegheny Cemetery. It was one of the first on my hit list. It still, to this day, remains in my top 10, probably in my top 5. But it might have been pushed down to 6 over the last recent years. But it is a cemetery that you must add to your list. I'm going to give you some facts about this place. It was actually established in 1844. It is the 6th oldest Garden Park cemetery out there. It's been around a while. It started out as 100 acres. Currently, it's 300, and there are approximately 150,000 burials. Many of Pittsburgh's founding fathers are buried there. Some who were originally buried there, or others that were reinterred from the Trinity Cathedral, which was in downtown Pittsburgh. John Chislett advocated for and designed the Allegheny Cemetery, including the Butler Street Gatehouse, based upon some of the observations that he had seen at the famed Mount Auburn, Laurel Hill, as well as Greenwood in New York. He went on to become the superintendent from 1844 till 1867. His son John Jr. became the superintendent upon his retirement, and then his son Frederick became the superintendent at Crown Hill Cemetery in Indianapolis, which Chislett Sr. actually designed as well. Chislett was buried at Allegheny upon his death in 1869. Allegheny also has a soldier section, which is donated to the cemetery by the U.S. government. Most of the burials are Union Civil War vets, but it also contains 15 Confederates and a few Spanish-American veterans. There is also the Arsenal Monument for the 43 women who are buried there, who died in the Allegheny Arsenal explosion in 1862. It's actually known as the worst civilian industrial accident associated with the Civil War. Now, Allegheny does have some star power. One of its most famous residents, Stephen Foster. Now, do you know Stephen Foster? Maybe not, but you know his songs like "Oh Susanna" or "Camptown Races, Sing Your Song, Doo-Dah, Doo-Dah." Yeah, we all know that. We also know another tune he has called "Old Folks at Home," or most people know that is "Way Down Upon the Swanee River." Yeah, listen to that good action. "My Old Kentucky Home," one of the greats. "Hard Times, Come Again No More." "Genie with the Light Brown Hair." You know, you heard Bugs Bunny sing all these songs. Yeah, Bugs Bunny was a big Stephen Foster fan. Anyway, you could find him there. Josh Gibson is there. He is a Major League Baseball player. He was actually a Negro League catcher, and he was well known for his hitting. There's also Lillian Russell. She's a famous actress and singer during the late 17th and early 18th century. There's also George Cyrus Jr., who was a Supreme Court justice. There's also Joshua Barney, who was a naval commodore. He was a hero of the Revolutionary War and the War of 1812. There's also Don Brockett. He was an actor. He was a Chef Brockett on Mr. Rogers. There's also Colonel John Gibson. He was a Revolutionary War vet and an Indiana territorial governor. There's also General William Larimer, who was the founder of Denver, Colorado. There's several industrialists there, like John Caldwell, who from the Westinghouse Partners. There's also John B. Ford, who was the founder of PPG, Libby Glass, and Ford City, Pennsylvania. There's Alfred Hunt, who founded what later became Alcoa Aluminums. There's also Joseph Home, who was the founder of Home Department Stores. There's also Samuel Keir, who was known as the grandfather of the American oil industry. He was actually the first person to refine oil. There's also Lovejoy. He is actually one of the founders, along with Carnegie, who created U.S. Steel. Then there's also Thomas Mellon, who's the patriarch of the Mellon family and the founder of the Mellon Bank. And there's still more. There's 4 newspaper publishers, 12 Civil War officers, 21 congressmen, 8 Pittsburgh mayors, 2 senators, several basketball players, several Medal of Honor recipients, and 1 Pennsylvania governor. Then they still have famous graves to boot. They have the Angel of Resurrection. That was a sculpture that was done by Henry Kirk Brown. That's right there on the Hoag plot. That thing was actually famous because it actually used to be in downtown Pittsburgh, and then it was relocated. The family brought it there to the gravesite. There's the Winter Mausoleum, which has the Egyptian theme that has the Sphinx on it. And it was actually designed by John Russell Pope. Pope is the guy that did the Woolworth Mausoleum in Greenwood in New York. And there's also, you know, like I mentioned earlier, there's the Butler Street Gatehouse. That's amazing. That was actually added to the National Registry of Historic Places in 1973. And the whole cemetery was added in 1980. You know, there are so many things to see there. There are statues, famous people. I just gave you a taste of the things that you can see there. There are amazing mausoleums there, amazing statuary. They have ponds, you know, water features. And it is one of those places that is a destination. Aside from the other places that you will visit while you're in Pittsburgh, this is a place that you can make as a main focus of your Necro Travelers. Be sure you add Allegheny Cemetery in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to your traveling checklist. Hello, boys and girls. This week's cemetery symbol is the open book. The open book sometimes has many meanings. It often is a religious or a holy book, such as the Bible, the Quran, the Book of Mormon, and others that indicate the deceased beliefs or vocation, such as a minister, a teacher, a librarian, or an author. Sometimes it's about the Book of Life, in a general sense, or in the Revelations passage about only those whose names are scribed in the book will gain entrance to heaven. It is sometimes a record of individuals and accomplishments. It is a sharing of a life message, and sometimes it's a life cut short, especially if the right side page is dog-eared. It can also mean learning and or faith. All right, welcome back to the show. Right now we are going to be discussing our feature famous grave. And today's grave will be none other than the founder of the Ford Motor Company, Mr. Henry Ford. He was born in 1863 in Dearborn, Michigan. But when he died in April of 1947, he was laid in state at the Greenfield Village. Many people waited in the mile-long line to pay their respects. His funeral at the time was the largest in Detroit history. After dying on April 7th, on April 10th, Detroit came to a standstill as Ford was taken to his final resting place. Buses, streetcars, motorists came to a halt. Gas stations statewide shut down. 100,000 Ford employees came to pay their respects to this legend of the auto industry. His final resting place is the Ford Cemetery, which is located on Joy Road in Dearborn, Michigan. That is in Wayne County and just outside of Detroit. He and his wife Clara are the centerpiece of this tiny cemetery. Both graves have ornate white grave blankets and are covered with mort safes. You know, the famous mort safes that so many people think are meant to keep vampires in, and they're really meant to keep grave robbers out. Back to the point, they are laid out very lovely, They have gravel surrounding them, and it's literally right there on the grounds of the St. Martha Episcopal Church. And that actually has an interesting side factor, because that church was actually built by Ford's wife, Clara, and it was named in memoriam of her mother. So again, that's the St. Martha's Episcopal Church. That is where the Ford Cemetery is located. It's a very serene location, located next to a very busy road. But if you were in the Detroit area, you definitively need to make a stop at the final resting place of one of the giants of the auto industry, none other than Henry Ford. Hey, Necro Travelers, are you aware that the Necro Tourist does private tours at cemeteries around the Cincinnati area? Not only Cincinnati, but we do tours at cemeteries all around the Midwest, to include Indianapolis, Columbus, Louisville, Lexington, and more. Be sure to visit our website, or you can find us on TripAdvisor. Cemetery tours at the Wesleyan Cemetery and other cemeteries in Cincinnati. You can learn some history, and you can have yourself a good time on a cemetery tour with the Necro Tourist.
Be sure to visit the Cemetery Podcast Facebook page at facebook.com/cemetery-podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be discussing now what is our featured memorial. One of the things that I enjoy about this particular memorial is we were heading to Philadelphia on this particular trip, and en route we were going to make stops in York, Pennsylvania. And while there, we were heading to the Prospect Hill Cemetery. Now, for those of you that have not been there, there are a variety of reasons to go. One of the most interesting and most beautiful things you will see as you enter in is actually York's First Responders Memorial and the Safekeeper Shrine, which is located right there in the cemetery. This thing is amazing. You can't miss it, believe me when I tell you. I'm going to give you some of the background on it, some of the information. It is absolutely stunning. This thing was dedicated in 2015 in the Court of Valor ceremony. That's right around their veterans area. It was designed by a local artist, and it memorializes the selfless service and sacrifice of all the first responders that have served in York, Pennsylvania. This thing stands 14 feet tall, 12 feet wide, and it features a large 65-foot square piece of glass panel that depicts the silhouettes of a fireman, a law enforcement member, and an EMS personnel. The silhouettes were employed to symbolize these particular concepts: the diversity of men and women who put themselves at risk to ensure our safety. The clear glass also represents the invisibility of these public servants, who only become apparent to us when we are in need of their service. And finally, the silhouette honors those who made the supreme sacrifice in their service to our community. The glass rests on a slab of granite that is imprinted with the names of the first responders that York County has lost since 1904. At the time of this show, there are 39 names on the memorial. If you are in York, if you are visiting a variety of cemeteries, and you make sure that you add Prospect Hill to your list. And when you arrive, you cannot miss this memorial, but you will feel compelled to stop. It is a thing of beauty. It is something that is not to be missed. It should be added to your Necro Traveler's checklist.
Here's another Medal of Honor moment with the Necro Tourist.
Today's Medal of Honor moment goes to Willie Sandlin. He was born January 1st, 1890, in Breathitt County, Kentucky. He joined the Army in 1912 and served at the Mexican border. He was then sent to France in 1917. For actions on September 26, 1918, his citation reads, "He showed conspicuous gallantry in action by advancing alone directly on a machine gun nest which was holding up the line with its fire. He killed the crew with a grenade and enabled the line to advance. Later in the day, he attacked alone and put out of action two other machine gun nests, setting a splendid example of bravery and coolness to his men. He went on to fight until the end of the war in France and was then exposed to gas at the Battle of Argonne. He is the only Kentuckian to receive the Medal of Honor for World War I. He returned home and championed the cause of literacy, using his own experiences to inspire others to learn to read. Willie died May 29, 1949, of lung infections caused by exposure to poisonous gas during the war. He was buried at Hurricane Cemetery in Hyden, Kentucky. September of 1990, he was moved to the Zachary Taylor National Cemetery in Louisville, where his wife Belva was interred with him in 1999. They were both reinterred in 2018 at the Kentucky Veterans Cemetery Southeast in Leslie County, Kentucky, as its first burials. In 2016, the Kentucky General Assembly named a new bridge crossing the Middle Fork at the Kentucky River on Kentucky 30 in Breathitt County and named it the Sergeant Willie Sandlin Memorial Bridge. All right, welcome to the final segment of the show. This is the Tales of the Necrotourist. This comes from the Travelogue. And this comes from a travelogue that took place on April the 9th, 2020. And this is a story called Cemetery Tornado Damage. One of the reasons I wanted to tell this story is because as we traveled around over the last month or so, we've seen a lot of damage in a variety of cemeteries around the Midwest. So it reminded me that in 2020, in the town where we live in, as we've mentioned many times before, the Necrotourist is based in Cincinnati, and I live in an area that is just outside of Mount Healthy, which is a northern suburb of Cincinnati. I literally live four doors away from a memorial garden, and I can see it from my front porch, and it's a really nice memorial garden, as a matter of fact. I know many of them are just flat stones, but this one is went out of their way to keep a lot of their big trees, and it's a nice place. And anyway, the night before, which was April the 8th, we had a storm, pretty significant storm that came through our town, and it came through in the overnight. And I'm kind of a weather geek, as well as knowing that these storms were coming, I stayed up late. Now, that being said, the very next morning, as soon as the sun cracked, I could see across the street that the memorial garden had suffered some damage to some of the trees already. So I decided to hop into the car and see what else had happened in the area of my town. I knew what came past my house was at least straight line winds. It broke one of my flag poles and a few other things. So I knew it was pretty serious. I mean, I know we had, I have my own altimeter in the backyard here. I was picking up some pretty heavy winds myself, 50 plus miles an hour. That next morning, I decide to drive over to the cemetery, and as I'm driving through, I see that they have damage. Several of the structures that they have, some of the wood structures were blown down, blown apart. They didn't have major damage, but they had several features that were to be reassembled, basically, and they had lost several trees. So as I started to I shot a few pictures there, and I drove on towards the main area of town, and I live about a mile away from the main intersection in Mount Healthy. And as I began to approach, you could see trees were down all over the place, into houses and all kinds of things. And as you cross the main intersection there at Hamilton Avenue, there were telephone poles that were down into businesses, and it was pretty significant. So I proceeded to go around the block, and I was shooting some photos of some of the damage that was done in the community. And I thought, wait a minute, we have a couple of other cemeteries right here, just a block or so away, actually just like three blocks away from the main intersection. There is a Catholic cemetery and a community cemetery. So I decided to pull around into there. And when I did, I saw damage. I saw huge trees that were cracked in half. I saw trees that were literally broke off and sheared off at the ground. I saw other trees that were picked up and tossed. And one of the most interesting things was there's like a little vault there. This is an older cemetery. Not a big vault because it's not a big cemetery. But there was a roof on top of it. And when I got there, the roof had blown approximately 100 yards or more and slammed into a fence that was up against the neighboring property. So it just literally took the entire roof off. And also right in that straight shot area, there was two huge trees, I'm talking, 50 footers or more. And it was pretty interesting. I shot video, I shot photos, and I put them, when I got back home, by the nature of what I do, not only did I want to share the photos that I shot of my hometown, I also shared those photos and the videos that I shot. As a matter of fact, these videos are available right now on YouTube. You can check them out on the NecroTourist on YouTube. I'm not certain if they're on the Facebook page. I do know they're on YouTube. It was interesting because when I shared these photos along, a lot of the forecasters knew that we had straight line winds and things of that nature. But because I put my videos out early, I was told that a couple of the meteorologists in town saw the video that I had shot, and they passed it along to the National Weather Service. And based on some of the information that I shared in my video, the National Weather Service then came closer to Mount Healthy and did determine that we had a tornado that came through. It wasn't just straight line winds. So it was pretty exciting to know that the information that I had gathered was useful in helping the determination. I will tell you, the damage was done. And, in typical thought, I anticipated, being a cemetery, that it was going to stay like that for a while. It is just a small community cemetery, and no one cares about the Mount Pleasant side of it as much. The St. Mary's side's a little different. There's still a few current family burials there. And lo and behold, I went back about 2 weeks later. The trees were taken care of. Not only was that, the roof was actually replaced on the little vault. So kudos to the caretakers of the Mount Pleasant Cemetery for the work that they did in the cemetery when that little EF1 tornado came through and did all that damage. But one of the reasons that I wanted to tell this story is because I thought it was interesting that my photos helped determine the tornado. But I also wanted you all to be aware that when you're out in the cemeteries, weather can be very dangerous for you. Make sure you're prepared. Be sure that you're checking your forecast. There's a lot of videos that have been floating around on the internet this year about lightning striking trees and traveling to the ground. This happens, ladies and gentlemen. I know sometimes when we're in inclement weather and we want to continue the cemetery shoot, protect yourself. Be aware of the weather, because the weather not only can destroy a cemetery, but it can destroy you.
Be sure to check out the NecroTourist website at necrotourist.com. You can also find them on Facebook at facebook.com/necrotourist.
All right, I would like to thank everybody for listening to this week's show. I would like to thank my friend, Senior Bull. I would like to thank my traveling partner and producer, Charlotte Graves, for everything that she does for the show. I would like to thank Osric Tentacles for all the songs and the music that we use. I would like to thank Be Sour Music for the theme song. And I would like to thank all of you for joining me. I so appreciate what I do. And if you like what I do, then please share the show with a friend. Tap into the website. Email me. Do what it takes. Let's be in touch. So, on behalf of the Cemetery Podcast and the Necro Tourist, until the next time you hear my voice, this is Ken Nagley saying I'll see you in the yard.